Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely fantastic day today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing great. The humidity's real high here in Florida today, so it's been kind of interesting walking around outside. It feels like it's August, to be honest with you. It's just not as hot as August, but it's kind of just nasty, the weather. But it's supposed to be cool tomorrow, so it's going to be nice. The high tomorrow is like 75. That's going to be really, really nice. But I want to talk real quick about what happened over the weekend. You know, George Bush died at the end of last week, and George H. And, I mean, this is a very odd thing for me to talk about because I knew him, and I knew him relatively well. I probably did 40, 50 seminars with him and spoke to him all the time, and I can tell you now he didn't have eyes that slitted when he had his pupils looking at you. People ask me that all the time. He did not have that because that's from David Icke and his reptilian stuff. And, you know, he's a reptile. He's got eyes that turn. Well, no, he didn't do that. But he was really, I'm going to tell you this, he was really, really nice as an individual. And so was Barbara Bush. Now, if I had known who they were and what they were involved in prior to being in the seminar circuit with these guys, I would have never made it through 40, 50 seminars with them. It never would have happened. I'd have been asking the wrong questions at the wrong time, which eventually led to me having some issues in that seminar circuit. And it would have just been one of those deals that I'd have been, you know, kind of shown the royal door out the door. But it's interesting about the guy. I've had dinner with him one night. We were having dinner with him, my wife, Tony Robbins, his ex-wife, and Peter Lowe. That was it. That was all of us at dinner. There'd be nobody else in the room. Huge banquet hall. Really fancy place settings. And we had dinner with him. And it was pretty amazing, actually. And I got to sit there and talk to him. He'd only got out of office a few years earlier than that. So it was like right out of the – he was like, this is probably – and this would have been in 97. So he'd been out of the White House for about 4 years. And so it was interesting with, you know, just talking to him about what's going on. And it was just weird. The whole thing was weird because it was a real formal dinner, chit-chat, nothing serious being talked about. I tried to help him with his diet a little bit. He was eating soft-shell crabs, told him how bad they were. He said he didn't care, said that he loved them. It was one of those dinners. And then I had to endure the presence of Tony Robbins for several hours, and that was interesting. I do not care for Tony Robbins. I do not personally care for him whatsoever, nor do I endorse him. I only mentioned his name because he was at that dinner with me tonight, that night. In fact, I'd done a seminar with him that day in Miami for like 28 or 30,000 people. And I remember Pat Riley, I believe his name was, who used to be the coach of the Miami Heat, was there speaking that day. It was back in 97. And I remember because I only did one seminar with Tony Robbins, and it was in 97. That's why I remember all of that. So I knew it had to be that day, that time, and everything else where we had the dinner with Bush. But Bush was involved with a lot of shenanigans. Now, I'm going to read you some stuff that is basically who he is. Now, this is sad. This is from Global Research. It's an article by Larry Chin. And it says, a lot of people are really happy to see this guy go. A lot of people believe he was an absolute, unspeakable, unimaginable human being who specialized in depravity. And we can thank him for decades of war crimes, treasons, global narcotics trafficking, money laundering, fraud, financial looting, mass murder, close association with George Soros and the Rothschild banking cartel. I'll get to that in a minute. Mass murder, assassination, the extermination of political enemies and whistleblowers, million dead in Iraq, the complete criminalization of military and intelligence agencies, the corruption of the entire government across all political parties, devastation and violence in every corner of the planet, from the killing fields of Asia to the Middle East and Latin America, the United States itself, the institutionalization of terrorism, the importation of narcotics and drugs from Afghanistan, criminal cover-up, all of it. He was that guy. He was one of the great – I'm reading you from this guy's article now. He was one of the greatest architects of suffering the world has ever known. His New World Order criminal empire that continues to poison and corrupt its tentacles, still oppressing to this very moment. As you read this, the article goes on to say, do not mourn George Herbert Walker Bush. Mourn his victims. Mourn what has been lost. Mourn what has been destroyed. Mourn what he took. Mourn the 1,000 points of life that he lights, that he snuffed out. The historical truth fully exposed who and what the Bush family are, what they've done. Let the mainstream corporate media's desperate attempts to sanitize the Bush record utterly fail. He was worse by light years than John McCain. And you guys already know how I feel about John McCain. Now, the reason I told you about his persona in the seminar circuits that was all being used as a facade to try to make sure his image stayed untainted after he had left the White House. That people wouldn't talk about who he was and how he was involved with the Hinckley assassination attempt of Ronald Reagan, how he ran the Reagan White House, was the one that ran Iran-Contra, the one who got all Ronald Reagan all tied up and all that. Yeah, he ran the arms, the MENA drug cartels, how he did it involved with all of that, with Oliver North. I mean, this guy was like one of those people that if he had never existed, the world would have been a better place. Now, you did not even hear me say that about John McCain. So, no, I have nothing to say positive about him. Poppy Bush, as he was known, was the real power behind the Ronald Reagan administration, basically while the actor fronted for it. But Bush himself, the charming and the unknown, and then the unknown Clintons took the role, which was passed back to George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, and then back to the so-called neoliberals, Obama, Hillary, Clinton, Biden, John Kerry, et cetera, and so forth, with almost 40 years of corruption in running our country. My entire lifetime, pretty much, as far as my adult lifetime, has been involved with these guys at the center of political power. It's just unbelievable, and I'm gonna read you back, give you back this research. I want you to read back, go back to this article. I'm not gonna read it all to you. I just read parts of it. Political succession in the Bush-Clinton nexus, permanent criminal state, the legacy of George Herbert Walker Bush, the permanent revolving door by Larry Chin, C-H-I-N. Read it, and sadly, it's true, the article, as far as what I know and what I've researched. Now, I want to talk to you about George Soros for a minute, because I've talked to you many times about George Soros and his Rothschild connections, and I've covered it once on the Hagman Show, but I want to bring this back up to you again today, and here's why, because I'm going to tie him back into George Bush with George Soros and the Rothschilds right now. This is an article. It's called George Soros Was Exposed as a Rothschild Agent in 1996, and it's basically an article that was written by multiple authors, including Birdman, Helen Brick, Gromoidian, Scott Thompson, and the author who wrote this particular article together is William Engdahl. Now, here's what he says about Soros. His goal is to loot wherever and however he can. Soros has been called the master manipulator of hit-and-run capitalism. Following the crisis of European exchange rate mechanism in 1992, when the Bank of England was forced to abandon efforts to stabilize the pound sterling, a little-known Rothschild-controlled figure emerged in the shadows to boast that he had personally made over $1 billion in speculation against the British pound. He worked for the Nazi governments during World War II, identifying and expropriating the property of wealthy fellow Jews. Soros left Hungary after the war. After he spent years at the Rothschild Bank in London, he went to New York. Soros proclaimed in March 1993 with great publicity that the price of gold was about to rise sharply. He said that he had just gotten inside information, this would be from the Rothschild. Gold, and basically sold his gold then for a huge profit. The technique that he did was given the term hit and run capitalism. What Soros leaves behind is a collapsed local market and financial ruin of local national investors. Soros is the visible side of a vast and nasty secret network of private investment financial interests controlled by leading aristocratic families of Europe, primarily the Rothschilds and the House of Windsor. This network, called by its members as the Club of Isles, was built upon the wreckage of the British Empire after World War II. Basically, he was what would be called a Hofjuden, which is a court of Jews who were deployed by the aristocratic families during the Middle Ages. The most important of such Jews, who are not Jews, they say in this article, are the Rothschilds, who launched Soros' career. They're also members of the Club of Isles. Now remember, they're the front guy, they're the money guy for Soros, they're his backing. George Soros, part of a tightly knit financial mafia, you guys have heard me use that term many times, in the sense of a closed Masonic-like fraternity of families pursuing common aims. Anyone who dares to criticize Soros or any of his associates is immediately hit with a charge of being an anti-Semite. The myth, therefore, has been created that Soros is a lone financial investment genius who, through his sheer personal brilliance in detecting market shifts, has become one of the world's most successful investors and speculators. No, just like J.P. Morgan before him, he is told what to do by the Rothschild banking cartel in advance, making him look like he is brilliant. However, he is entirely backed and financed due to the Rothschilds. From the very first days when Soros created his own investment fund, he owed his success to the relation to the Rothschild family banking network. Soros worked in New York in the 60s for a small private bank close to the Rothschilds called Anhold and Bleichröder Incorporated, a family banking fund which represented the Rothschild interest in Germany during Bismarck's time. To this day, this bank remains the principal custodian of Soros' assets and his funds, along with Citibank. And this, and also Carl Weiss of Edmund de Rothschild Switzerland Bank Privé Lugano, as well as the scandal-tainted Rothschild Bank of Zurich, gave Soros financial backing. All of this stuff is backed by the Rothschild banking cartel. Another director of Soros Quantum Fund is Isidore Albertini, owner of the Milan stock brokerage firm Albertini & Company, Bank of Geneva. And he is also involved in, basically crossed the Swiss border Milan. This is also he's part of the notorious and financially secret bank haven for the Italian organized mafia crime families. So these guys are all tied together with international crime, which I told you guys repeatedly, the Jewish mafia, the Italian mafia, the Irish mafia, the Chinese mafia. Since World War II, the Rothschild family at the heart of the financial apparatus of the Club of Isles has gone to great lengths to create a public myth about its own insignificance. Since British Secretary Alfred Balfour wrote his famous letter on November of 1917 to Lord Rothschild expressing the official government backing for the establishment of a Palestinian national home for the Jewish people, the Rothschilds were intimately involved in the creation of the State of Israel. Rothschilds are at the center of the international web of money laundering banks used during the 70s and 80s by Britain's MI6, Oliver North, and here we go, George Bush, to finance such projects as Nicaraguan Contras. On June 1993, the chairman of the U.S. House of Representatives Banking, Henry Gonzalez of Texas, made a speech charging the U.S. government under the previous Bush and Reagan administrations had systematically refused to prosecute international banks. Gonzalez charged that the Bush administration had a Justice Department that he says, and he repeats, that had been the most corrupt, most unbelievably corrupt system that he's ever seen in his 32 years in Congress. He says their bank violated countless laws, including money laundering, financially illegally arms trafficking, falsifying bank records. This list goes on and on and on. They were also involved in the destruction of the Soviet Union and destruction of huge amounts of money and investment capital records in the destruction of 9/11. With 9/11, Soros is quite close to the circles of George Bush and the U.S. intelligence community and finance. His principal bank custodian, and he is the principal bank custodian and reputed major lender in the 1992 assault on Europe's Citicorp N.A., the nation's largest bank. Citicorp is more than a lending institution. It is part of the American liberalist establishment. It goes further. Citicorp is part of the Federal Reserve Bank system and part of the Exchange Stability Fund. It is at the core of the Rothschild interest with George Soros in the United States, controlling the Treasury of the United States of America. This article could be found, at, again, at Humans Are Free by author William Engel, E-N-G-D-A-H-L. You can read it in depth, and you can understand who and what George Bush, George Soros, and the Rothschilds are, and how they, through the criminal cabal of mafiosa agents around the world, basically control the planet through organized crime. Austin, what do you think?
That was really well said. I mean, I think that was a really accurate synopsis on a lot of this stuff. And, I mean, that's, everybody has to remember that a lot of these guys, I mean, when you get to the very, very top tier of where these guys are, there's a reason why they're there. And it's not something, I mean, it's very difficult to get to this level without doing a few things or, you know, paying a few people off or compromising a few things. It's just part of it. And, these guys, when they get involved in this global elite, remember, I mean, George Bush Sr., I mean, he was the one that really first coined and actually brought the term New World Order to the public vocabulary in the early 90s during that speech, if you guys saw that. Beta test. He did that. That was perfectly done, too, in my opinion. That was not an accident. He specifically used that term to basically slowly implement this and desensitize people to the New World Order that they're trying to basically force upon us through the United Nations and all the other globalist techniques. So definitely good synopsis on that. Also, too, in other news, as we hear so many people, I've read literally countless articles over the last month of people that are having issues after they've gotten the flu vaccination. I saw another article here just a minute ago that I wanted to bring up. Las Vegas father Shane Morgan, they said now, is fighting for his life after he received the flu shot on November 2nd, and 36 hours later, he developed serious flu-like symptoms. Imagine that. By November 14th, less than 2 weeks later, he could no longer feel his legs, so he asked his wife to bring him to the emergency room. He was admitted in critical condition. He now, and this guy's 46 years old. He's not super old. He's not an elderly individual. I mean, he's 16 years older than me. And he's now unable to speak or move currently as of this week. He's being fed through a feeding tube and breathing through the help of a ventilator. They have now diagnosed him with Guillain-Barre syndrome, which is incredibly common with vaccination side effects. The man's never had really any significant health issues from what they read and his family talked about over the last, you know, 20, 30 years they've been with him. And so now he basically is an invalid. I mean, he's completely crippled. He can't move. He has to be fed through a feeding tube. And he's pretty much done. And the whole thing that I want people to take away from this is, because when you hear these idiot leftists talk about how the flu vaccination and these vaccines are your civil duty that you need to take to basically for the greater good of mankind, they're blithering idiots and they're parrots just repeating what the CNN likes to talk about. When you see people that get these vaccinations and they have these incredibly horrific side effects, there's a reason why they're having side effects, because this stuff is so toxic. There's another article I saw last week. New York State Senator Jose Perlente, 47, died tragically after having severe like flu symptoms for 2 weeks after he got the flu vaccination, and then later on died. They said the cause of death was what they referred to as septic shock. However, the doctors were still unsure what the initial cause was. However, he got the flu vaccination. Within 48 hours, he had severe flu-like symptoms, admitted himself to the hospital a few days later, and died in the hospital. So this isn't something that's uncommon, guys. This is something that happens on a regular basis. Another article with AP HPV vaccinations here. They said now the United States, as we know, has reported its lowest birth rate in 30 years. But also, too, when you start looking at the numbers, more than 12% of American women, 1 in 8, are now having trouble conceiving and bearing children. And these studies that have come out now, one after another, when they've looked at this, as far as there was one that the CDC released, which is ironic, they released it. It was a database of more than 8 million women and singled out over 25% increase and childlessness associated with one drug that the young women had been exposed to, and that was the HPV vaccination. This stuff that Merck has brought out and GlaxoSmithKline has brought out, because they're the two main spearheads of the HPV vaccine, this is some incredibly toxic stuff. And if you still don't understand that the HPV vaccine is being used as a depopulation tool to prevent basically pregnancy and to make these women sterile and infertile, I'm not being rude, but people are living under a rock if they still believe the HPV vaccine is to prevent basically the human papillomavirus virus. It's a joke, guys. And they've even found now in numerous research studies that I've quoted over the year that it doesn't actually prevent it. It's only got like a 30 to 40% success rate preventing you from getting the virus. Then there's all these host of side effects, including Guillain-Barre syndrome, which tens of thousands of girls all across the country have been diagnosed with right after they got the HPV vaccine. Do your research, guys. Please look at the research and make your own informed decision. Don't just parrot what these unbelievably corrupt pediatricians and doctors and media outlet talking heads regurgitate on TV and in the doctor's office. Remember that it is privatized. Blue Cross Blue Shield has already come out and openly discussed and disclosed that they give tens of thousands of dollars away in bonuses depending on how many kids the pediatrician has fully vaccinated on his roster. This is all completely and true factual news that they're not even trying to hide. They have a monetary incentive to vaccinate the population. And at the same time, you should have a moral and ethical conversation with your doctor, with your family, with your friends, with your children on whether or not this is something you really want to take a risk on, Dad. But the more I've seen these things, and now this other guy out in Vegas, this Shane guy, 46 years old, basically paralyzed on a feeding tube 2 weeks after he got the vaccination, the flu vaccine. This is some toxic stuff, man, that some people just absolutely cannot handle that level of toxicity in their body.
Premature ovarian failure, as far as what the HPV vaccine causes.
Yep.
The flu vaccine basically infects you. I mean, and then not only that, it gives you mercury toxicity. So, I mean, this is some poisonous stuff. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't even know how to talk about it anymore. I mean, we talk about it repeatedly because we have so many new listeners every day that we try to give you guys the heads up on this stuff. But, guys, I can't tell you any more about how poisonous it is because I've run out of verbs, you know, and adjectives and everything else. I can't really describe this very much to you anymore because I don't know what to say. It's just, it's unbelievably poisonous to do these vaccinations. And until they're willing to give us clean vaccines without all these adjuvants and reduce this vaccine schedule so we don't overload our immune system, I'm not going to do it. I'm just using my little sounds there, but I'm just not going to do it. I have no interest on being involved with these guys and using their filthy trash and injecting it into my body. Let me tell you something else too. Before I get started on this thing, before I get cranked up here. How do you have any idea what they're putting in you? How do you know they're not putting live flu vaccine in you? How do you know that there's no mercury because it's a sterile and it's just live flu vaccine? A few years ago, Baxter Labs sent hundreds of thousands of doses of live bird flu vaccine into Hungary.
Yep.
And they expected to be injected. How do you have any idea who and what develop that drug and you're shoving it into your system? How do you know it's not filled with nanobots? How do you know it's not filled with synthetic RNA? How do you know? The reality is you don't. You really don't know. And you're trusting the doctor, who's trusting the manufacturer, who's trusting the government, who's trusting the Rothschild banking empire, which controls all of the things I just listed, to not poison you. One of their key goals through Jim Gates and his foundations, another Rothschild cutout, is to reduce the population. Remember, guys, they've got to dumb down the population of the planet. They have to. You're not going to be an effective biorobot if you keep fighting against them because your IQ is too high. They want you to be dumbed down. They got to get rid of the white people. They got to lower the IQ rate. They got to bring all the migrants in from Somalia with their 59 IQs, and they've got to destroy the population in general. That's their goal. You think, well, gosh, that sounds awful, Ted. Well, I didn't say it didn't sound awful. I think it's awful, too. But you got to look at what their goals are. Remember, the Jason scholars back in the 50s, their primary goal was reduce the population of the planet. And they've been very ineffective to doing that. And now we have third world countries breeding 100 million new people a year. And so the white people and the Eastern and the Western culture people, I mean, I'm now you have to also include Hispanics and blacks and everybody else who lives in the United States who've been happily living here for 200 or 300 years. We've got to be moved out. They got to move us out because they've got to bring all these other people in from all these other countries to create their new world order, to drop the IQ points so that we can all end up, you know, worshiping their doggone demon. So we're too stupid to realize that, you know, we shouldn't be doing this because, you know, it's just, and I'm going to say something again. This is important. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. If I have a child that is born with 120 IQ and that child is put into a home with parents who have an 80 IQ, that child, when he's grown, will still have 120 IQ. If I change I flip it around and I take a child with an 80 IQ and I put him in a parent's that are very smart with 120 IQ, when that child is grown, he will still have an 80 IQ. It doesn't change. Now, the way you change IQ scores for cumulative averages, you breed in lower IQ scores and the higher IQ scores, and the progeny from that group basically becomes genetically inferior from an IQ point standpoint. You think, well, that sounds like eugenics. It is eugenics. This is what they're doing. This is their stated goals. They can't have you smart, because if you're smart, you question too much stuff. You know, if you say, take this shot. I don't want to take a shot. What's in it? Why are you asking? Because I don't really want to put something in me. I don't know what's in it. No, don't ask. Just shut up and bend over. We're going to shoot this in your hip. It'll be over within a second. Well, I really don't want to do it. Well, what do you mean you don't want to do it? Well, because I don't know what you got in it. Well, you just didn't listen to me the first time. I told you to bend over and shut up. See, this is what they want. They want to have people that have lower IQ scores that don't question the authorities. I mean, you know, a lot of police officers, you know, they have to take IQ tests, et cetera, and they don't want to have really smart guys working on the force. You go, why is that? Well, because they question too much. They don't follow orders like they're supposed to. And you think, well, really? I said, yes. Yeah. So they take the people with the lower IQ scores. They give them guns. They give them badges. They tell them to protect the people around them. It doesn't work that way. And real quick, I want to share something with you. And this is something that's happened to some friends of mine. If you've ever been convicted of a felony and you've lost your rights and you no longer have the right to own a gun, don't have a gun in your house. Don't be walking around with a gun in your yard. Because if you've got somebody who's mad at you and they know your background and they call the cops on you, they're going to come look for that gun because to them you're a convicted felon. The police officers see that on your record, and if they show up at your house, they're going to be thinking they have a convicted felon who's brandishing a weapon, and they're going to come ready to shoot you. Now, I know that probably doesn't apply to like 1% of my listening audience. I got that. But for that 1%, don't do it. Get your record expunged. That happened to me with some people that I know here recently, and it's just been a big disaster trying to deal with it all. By the way, Starbucks is now saying they're no longer going to allow people to watch child porn and pornography in their stores after years of pressure. Now, quite frankly, well, no, yeah, why in the world is Starbucks allowing people to have child porn? Well, it's interesting. Here's why. Because having unfiltered hotspots also allows children and teenagers to easily bypass filters and other parental controls set to be used by parents because it protects them. It also, by allowing this to happen, Starbucks has kept the doors open for convicted sex offenders and others to fly under the radar from law enforcement and use free public Wi-Fi services to access illegal child porn and hardcore pornography. So basically, they're bowing to pressure now, this extremely liberal organization, and saying that they're going to start blocking their pornography, allowing them to people to use it in their stores, which, to be honest with you, Austin, I didn't know they did that. Also, Donald Trump is now saying that Cohen basically should go to prison. That's the Jewish attorney that turned against Trump and started basically broke complete client privilege confidentiality and ran his mouth and lied to keep himself out of trouble. And quite frankly, I don't like to talk about news stories like that because to me, all of that stuff is smoke and mirrors. It's like bread and circuses for the masses. And all they're trying to do is keep you guys from, you know, waking up and keeping you in the trance. Again, talking about Cohen or Stormy Daniels or other of these weird sickos. What they don't want you to understand and what's really going on is that Christians in the Middle East are becoming an endangered species, and people don't realize that, you know, the Archbishop of Canterbury is actually warning now that all the Christians in the Middle East, if the current trend does not change, are going to be wiped out. Now, remember, under Saddam Hussein, Christians were protected in Iraq. That ain't the case anymore. And guys, remember, Islam is a very interesting religion. If a person is Islamic and they convert to Christianity, they basically have the right to kill them if they don't convert back. And so in these Sharia law countries. So, you know, George Bush coming in and doing what he did to Iraq and all of this hadn't been really good for the Christians of that part of the world. Also, want to think about these stories.
Yeah, no, it's definitely some crazy stuff. I mean, the Middle East is, I mean, it's being taken fully over. And that's the goal of Islam, if you guys have ever done your research on it. Once they're a very, very, very small population minority, they're quite submissive. They don't really start any issues. They don't really cause any conflicts. Once they start becoming, you know, close to about 10% of the population, they start to try to attempt to take over every aspect. And we've seen that to be the case and be true in literally every single society, especially in the European societies that we have now, where they're trying to force Sharia law, why they're trying to have Sharia courts, why they're now in the UK. They've implemented Sharia speech hate crimes, where if you talk about basically anybody that's Islamic, they consider it a hate crime if they don't deem it to be nice and friendly. And it's already going on in the UK now. People being arrested for talking negatively about Islam. Yet in these countries, you never hear about any laws talking about Christian, you know, as far as protection, talking about Christian beliefs, even talking about Catholics, anything. But when it comes to Islam, it's like they are trying to promote that satanic agenda so hard now that they're doing anything they can to muzzle the population from speaking the truth out of it whatsoever. It's quite sad. Also, too, in other news, a new research has come out again showing how statins are incredibly toxic to the body. They're saying now that estimated 1 in 5 Americans are on statins now. Experts recently recommended that nearly 10 million more people need to start statin drugs as the AMA always continues to up guidelines. Some estimates suggest that guidelines that from some organizations would see statins prescribed to over 40% of everyone in the U.S. between 40 and 75 within the next few years, even where there is no history of heart issues. Natural Health 365 reports the science on statins is again shown how big of a debacle this is becoming and what type of a health issue this is becoming. The research basically in this study did coronary CT scans, and they actually found that the statin groups had a higher number of coronary segments that were calcified, with calcified plaque. So they led them to believe that the statins are actually increasing calcification of the arteries, when the whole time now for years, everything about the statin drugs has been how, hey, we need to do this so you don't have a heart attack. We need to do this so you don't have this cholesterol issue. We need to do this so you don't have any plaque buildup in the arteries. But now they're finding that statin drugs used over long term actually increase the risk of calcified plaques in the artery walls. And this is something that's so troubling to me, because I still get so many emails every single week, phone calls every single day in the office about people that are on statin drugs. And this is one of those drugs that, in my opinion, is becoming more of an epidemic than opioids is. Opioids is a serious problem, and the truth about opioids needs to be let out as far as what we're seeing with the heroin coming from Afghanistan, the fentanyl coming out of Mexico. All these things need to be talked about. But the statin drugs are a silent killer that nobody is wanting to address. Nobody is talking about this hardly at all, except for a few of the natural news outlets online. The problem is, most of these statin drugs don't just kill you immediately. They give you this long and lingering, horrible, disease-filled lifestyle for the next 20 to 30 years that you're on them, and there is no legitimate purpose whatsoever to take these things unless you have some incredibly elevated cholesterol, and you need to take them for a short time to get your diet and your cholesterol back in check. And it would be for a very short time when I ever see somebody using these. But the fact that they're now trying to put them on people that are under 190 with their total cholesterol, because it needs to be lower, it needs to be lower, and it needs to be lower. We've talked countless hours on this show about how the disease rates of everybody goes through the roof once cholesterol drops below 200. But again, the more research comes out, the more they try to push it on people to tell them you need it, to the point now where I just mentioned earlier that they're talking in the next few years over 40% of the population between 40 and 75 is going to be on statin drugs, even with no previous heart issues whatsoever, Dad. This is really starting to become a pharmaceutical epidemic with these horrible drugs.
Well, it's medical tyranny, and as long as they're allowed to push this lie on their marketing, it's never going to end, bud. As long as they get on national TV and talk about it all the time. And like right now, I know that, you know, my wife is all about Hallmark. She's all things Hallmark. It's like, don't bother her. She's watching Hallmark Christmas, right? And luckily we have a Fire Stick and, you know, with whatever. And we got that so we don't have to watch any commercials on Hallmark, because Hallmark is notorious for putting up like all pharmaceutical drug ads constantly. Every 7 minutes, you get 7 minutes of commercials or whatever it is. It's awful. And so I've actually choked through a few of the Hallmark shows with her that were actually okay. The reason I like them a little bit is that, number one, they've got the same plot. They're always the same. You got somebody loves somebody, and somebody else loves them, and they're going to get with the person they're supposed to be with at the end, live happily ever after. That's the plot. But here, and that's like every one of them. But the reality is this, is that at least they don't have a bunch of filthy language. They don't have a bunch of sex. They don't have a bunch of violence. They don't have a bunch of people shooting each other. So to me, that's why I think they're getting such huge ratings now, because people have finally realized that they're tired of all this garbage that they're having to listen to with the mainstream media and all of the filth. By the way, the Salvini decree has now become law, and Italy is moving closer to deporting 500,000 illegal idiots. Immigrants, I call them idiots. Oh, my gosh. Martino Salvini, Italy's interior minister, has become the most political politician in the country by keeping his campaign promise by reducing immigration. Parliament passed legislation to grant asylum only to those fleeing war who are persecuted, which is ridiculous because they can't prove that. Migrants who receive asylum for humanitarian purposes are likely to be deported when their documents expire. Salvini also refused to sign the suicidal UN Global Migration Pact, which is run by the Rothschilds. Remember, guys, the Rothschilds started the League of Nations right after the Treaty of Versailles. It really didn't get super active until World War II when it got shifted into the United Nations with the Rothschilds. This is all Rothschild stuff. All Rothschild stuff. The whole League of Nations, the whole Treaty of Versailles, the whole Balfour Declaration, the whole Samuel Untermeyer, all of this is Rothschild-controlled nonsense and controlled psychologically through us, you know, with all the junk they do with their trauma-induced mind control. All of this stuff is going on from these guys. And they're basically wanting to bring Europe to its knees through this forced immigration. You know, the thing that's so stupid to me, though, Austin, they're always squalling and bawling about the birth rate. Well, if you bring a bunch of people in from third world countries that don't know how to use protection when they're having sex, there's a really high probability when they get to these new countries that they're basically going to start having 8 and 10 children anyhow. And they're still going to basically have 100 million new children in these new countries. So I have no idea. Maybe they're going to have to start doing mass sterilization. I don't know. By the way, 20 violent crimes that would be eligible for early release under the U.S. Criminal Justice Reform First Step Act. This is the First Step Act. It's a new criminal justice reform bill being considered that allows inmates earn early release for 1/3 of their sentences. 20 violent crimes, including serious drug crimes, are included in the program. They include trafficking cocaine, methamphetamine, strangling a spouse or an intimate partner, gang felonies, assault with intent to commit rape or sexual abuse, and other similar crimes. So we just got to thank all of these guys for doing all of that and getting these guys back on the streets. We really needed those people right now back on the streets. By the way, Trump wants to terminate NAFTA and replace it with the USMCA, which is a UN Agenda 2030 in disguise. Newsflash, Donald Trump is not doing what Donald Trump said he was going to do. We are not draining a swamp. Last week, President Donald Trump, an outgoing president of Mexican president, basically met in Argentina and signed the new United States-Mexican-Canadian agreement. This treaty is intended to further the political merger of these countries. USMCA, like NAFTA, stifles free trade, overrides national sovereignty, and increases the power, here we go, of the United Nations and the Rothschild-controlled World Trade Organization. The document obliges to the U.S. to follow the UN Agenda 2030 and rule by elected bureaucrats signed by President Trump. Newsflash, get a life, Q ain't coming. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, gosh. A lot of our followers and listeners already know how I feel about United Nations. I mean, they are the New World Order poster child. They are going to do everything they can to drag us in to United Nations 2030, high population density cities with no vehicles and only trains that can basically go in and out of them. It's pretty much, if you want to look at a very, very vivid example, it's the first Hunger Games. It really is. The first one really gives you a very clear-cut example of the aspect of what happens when the United Nations begins to take over globally. It's quite scary, to be honest with you, when you understand that that movie isn't just fiction on most parts. It's actually a true blueprint of the United Nations. And the reason why I know that is because I've actually read a significant amount of the United Nations documents as far as what they entail, what they want to achieve, what their goals are over the next 10 to 15 years. And a lot of them are very, very clear cut. They try to use very, you know, fancy words to try to make people think, oh, they're trying to do it for the betterment of mankind. They're trying to do it for, you know, humanity. But in reality, when you really dig deep and you look at what they're saying and you break it down, it's all about a full global enslavement policy that the United Nations will be able to basically run, dominate, and control the world with an iron fist. And everybody that does not capitulate will essentially either be incarcerated or executed. That's pretty much the gist of it. So the fact that they're about to bring this in to South America is not cool. Secondly, we already know what they're about, and we already know what they're doing in California, especially with a lot of the railways, with a lot of the huge high-rise population cities that they're building out there, the smart cities out in the Midwest, that huge one that was built out in New Mexico I talked about a couple months ago. that can handle like 50,000 people. It's completely and totally like off the grid smart city, and there's no vehicles allowed. Everything basically goes through autonomous vehicles or trains to get in and out, and that's what they're going to do. And a lot of the buildings are the places that you're going to work. You're going to work on computers, or you're going to work on phones, and then essentially you're going to go down to the lower levels or the upper levels, and you're going to go to your apartment. You're going to cross over a skyway and go over to your apartment on the other building. That's what they're going to do, and that's the easiest way for them to control the population, because when they set up a soft perimeter on the outside of the city that you're only allowed to go out of unless you get permission, unless you have documentation, unless you've been a good little slave, that's how they're going to do it. And then you have a hard perimeter on the outside that essentially you're not allowed to travel unless you have a permit, unless you've paid fees, unless you're a really good citizen, unless you have adequate reason and documentation on why you're trying to travel out of that. That is what the United Nations is planning on doing. So the fact that they're going to try to implement this in South America doesn't surprise me. Sadly enough, Trump signed it, which I thought he was not a big globalist and he was not a fan of the United Nations. But again, he's capitulated on a lot of stuff with the United Nations. That's one, a branch of whatever they are, that I would never allow to dominate in the United States, whatever. I would probably completely and totally ban them from the United States. So they're going to do everything they can to completely push their agenda through the U.S. That's the goal, because the United States, as they've clearly said, has too many guns, has too much freedom, and we have too many people. And they're going to do something about it if they have their way with it. Also, too, in other news now, woman in Michigan shot an intruder in her home Sunday morning, yesterday, while she was getting ready to leave for church. Reports that the incident occurred about 10:30 a.m. in Detroit as the woman and her daughter were going to the door to step outside. Allegedly, an unknown man basically kicked the door open, pushed them to the side, and tried to force his way into the house. Mother managed to get her gun and fired two shots, at least one of which struck the man. First responders pronounced the man dead at the scene. And again, this is another reason why I'm pretty proud of this lady. I mean, she's going to church. She's still carrying a pistol. She obviously was able to draw it in a pretty controlled, quick fashion and discharge it in a controlled manner and knock this individual out before he's able to hurt them or hurt any property or anything else that was going on. And again, that's just another reason why I tell you guys so many times, there always needs to be, you need to have an edge. There always needs to be an edge. You know, it's always good to know how to fight hand to hand. That's a huge, huge factor, because sometimes you may not have a gun, but in other cases as well, you also need to have some type of other force that is able to match other deadly force, and that's where firearms really play a role. But what's crazy too, a couple other incidents just in Tulsa last week, a resident shot and killed an intruder. The son shot and killed an alleged intruder in the family's Kentucky home in another incident, and a clerk shot an alleged robber in a South Carolina cell phone store. So many great incidents of law-abiding citizens using guns to protect themselves and people around them from being harmed from perpetrators. Also, too, another study that came out that I found to be very interesting, as I've talked about this a lot on the show, is that a new research study has been done. A report from the Active Healthy Kids Alliance came out and says that if physical inactivity of kids is now at crisis levels, they said that global lifestyle trends, increased screen time, and less manual fuel results. They said that children around the world are not moving enough to actually maintain healthy growth and development, the report released today. The report compared 49 countries from six continents to assess global trends in childhood physical activity and development in developing nations, resulting in a matrix 3.0 comparison of grades. The reports revealed that modern lifestyles, increase in screen time, the growing urbanization of communities, and the rise of automation of previously manual tasks are contributing to a pervasive public health problem that must be recognized as a global priority. And this is something that I've talked about repeatedly, is that, you know, I don't have a bit of problem if a kid wants to play a video game that's in their age bracket that's not incredibly violent or has an issue, or, you know, demonic video games, because some are really weird out there. But it needs to be very, very limited screen time, and it needs to be used as a tool, not a crutch. If the child's got all their homework done, if they got all their chores done, if they got the grass mowed, and they want to go in and play 30, 45 minutes of a video game they like, I'm okay with that. You use it as a tool. But allowing these kids to sit in front of screens for literally 8, 9, 10, 12 hours in some cases that I've personally seen and I've heard about from firsthand parties, this is causing a serious problem throughout the entire world, because as it says right here, our bodies were never designed to be stagnant, especially as kids. You know, I got Hunter, he's 2.5 right now. I mean, the boy's a wild child. I mean, I love him. He's 2.5. I mean, he's wild. I mean, jumping up and down like Tigger, running around the house, running outside, running back and forth. I mean, just, he has one speed right now, and it is wide open throttle all the time. That's his only speed. That's fine. That's his age. He enjoys it. He has a blast. He has a good time. But their bodies are designed to do this right now. And when they start getting a little bit older, and then they get stuck on these iPads, and they get stuck on these phones, and they get stuck on these computer screens and TV screens, it's not healthy for them. Our bodies were never designed to be stagnant and just sit there for 10, 20, 30 hours at a time in some cases. Because, you know, a lot of times these kids go and they sit on video games 8, 9, 10, 12 hours. Then they'll get on their phone for another hour or two. Then they'll go lay down and go to sleep. Then they'll wake up Saturday morning, they'll start the whole process over again. So you have a process of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Pick out 2, 3, 4 days sometimes of just straight inactivity doing nothing. It's not healthy. It needs to be addressed. And if you're a parent, don't allow this type of behavior to be tolerated in your house. Again, like I said, I know TV, movies, video games, they can be a privilege, they can be fun, but they have to be moderated, and these kids have to do some type of physical activity, whether it be doing chores inside, outside the house, working out, riding bicycles, skateboarding, whatever they want to do, let them be kids, let them enjoy it. But this inactivity crisis that we have in this country and globally is going to slowly breed a very, very unhealthy lifestyle for a lot of these individuals as they get older. And again, that may be part of the globalist agenda to really promote this. So these kids are so used to inactivity time all the time on screen that all they want to do is work on a computer even when they get older, because they don't want to do anything else because they're really unbelievably out of shape and have no condition at all, Dad. But I don't know. That's just my speculation.
You know what's funny, Austin, is that, you know, you're right. You know, when you were young, you were just absolutely wide open all the time. And your son reminds me so much of you. I mean, last night he was running around the house, he runs into a wall. I'm starting to laugh so loud, guys, but it was so funny. All of a sudden you hear a wow, he yells for a second, he's running again. And I just get a kick out of it, because that's the way kids are supposed to be. This is the way two-year-olds are supposed to be. Now, back to the lady in Michigan who shot somebody. Let me tell you, this is interesting. You know, Austin said you got to keep an edge. Now, let me tell you a story. I was watching the Outlaw Josie Wales. I've watched that movie so many times with Austin. It was like our favorite movie. And basically these settlers had been captured by the Comancheros, and they were being taken to be sold into slavery. And they were being dragged behind a wagon along with their Indian buddy. And I know I'm not supposed to say Indian buddy, but he was an Indian and he was their buddy, so I guess that's going to be the way I'm going to say it. And all of a sudden, Josie Wales shows up on top of the hill, and he's got the sun to his back. And the Indian buddy looks at him and goes, "Good, he's in the hill, he's got the sun to his back,
yep.
He's got an edge." And then he goes, "Now spit."
Yep.
You guys think I'm joking. I've watched that movie so many times, I quote it when we're watching it. And then pretty soon, you know, Clint Eastwood, basically the hero, Josie Wales, you know, gets rid of all of the bad guys and basically rescues all the people from the Comancheros being sold into slavery. It's because he had an edge. He was at the sun to his back. The guys were looking into the sun. They couldn't see what he was doing. And that's what Austin means by that. When he says have an edge, always remember, here's the edge. Know how to use a weapon. Know how to pull the weapon out. Know how to draw your weapon. Make sure you know how to turn the safety off. Know how to reload with multiple magazines in a fire type situation. Know how to take cover behind something that won't have a bullet go through it. Sheetrock does not work, by the way.
Yeah.
Learn that there are certain things that you need to do as a defender of your household. You know, like for instance, let me give you an example. If you're somebody trying to get into your house at night and you have the ability to take a prone position and shoot from the floor and shoot up. You know, you may not be able to move as fast, but they're never going to expect you to be laying on the floor. They're never going to start shooting on the floor, and you've got a clear shot at them. Make sure you know who they are, though. Make sure you're not going to shoot a family member who happened to walk in one night and forgot to tell you they were coming in. So all these different things you need to have an edge on. You need to realize maybe you have one of those strong arms on your door at night so they can't be barred, so it can't be breached very easily. Maybe you have a security system that's going to go off and warn you of an intruder. All of these things are edges. Make sure you've practiced proper home evacuation in the event of emergency. Make sure you've taught your children how to not stay at crime scene number one and not go to crime scene number two. Crime scene number one is where you're abducted. Crime scene number two is where they do all kinds of horrible things to you. Make sure you have all of these things in your behavioral repertoire at all times. Why is that? It's simple. You've got to understand that bad things happen to good people. It's just the way it is. And then learn this too. Learn that you don't need to associate with people that are bad people. If you know people do drugs, if you know people get drunk a lot, if you know that people are spouse abusers or doing things they shouldn't on their computers, just stay away from them. Avoid them. If you know that people use filthy language around you all the time, and I don't mean occasional H or a D word or stuff like that. I'm talking about just their filthy language all the time. Everything they're using God's name in vain all the time. Everybody's a this or everybody's a that. And it's just filthy, filthy, filthy language all the time. Avoid those people. Nobody needs to listen to that stuff and have it inside of your spirit, inside of your frequency range. You just don't need to listen to that filth. You know, it's like Jim Brown said one time to me, we were talking, and so many of our conversations got blended into all of his CDs and audio tapes that I listened to for so many years. But one of the comments he made was this. He says, Ted, you know, if you're climbing a ladder and you got to get to the top, or you're trying to go up in life, and you got two or three people hanging on you and they're keeping you down in the pits, it's really hard to climb the ladder carrying a bunch of people with you. You can't physically do it. He says, you got to be willing to say, you know what? Got to let you go. You know, you don't even want to try to grab a rung. You don't try to want to grab a rope. You don't want to try to help yourself at all. You want me to drag you up the ladder. It's the kind of people that continually make the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again, thinking they're going to get different results. You just got to kind of walk away from those guys and those girls and say, hey, look, you know, you married three guys who beat you and they left you unconscious in the emergency room. Why do you want to marry a fourth guy or date a fourth guy who's going to beat you? I mean, why do you want to do that? Okay? Or you marry a girl who can't keep her pants zipped, or a guy who can't keep his pants zipped. Maybe, just maybe, you need to do a background check on them before you start dating them. Uh-oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I? Maybe you need to go in and be, I shouldn't say that. Maybe you should go in and maybe meet somebody in the youth group and then do a background check on them. Make sure they haven't got six ex-wives they beat or six ex-husbands who died mysteriously. I mean, maybe you need to make sure that who you're dating is not some nutbag. You say, well, there really are people like that. Yeah, there are really people like that. They're called sociopaths and psychopaths. I mean, think about this for a second. Certain groups of people, okay, especially these world leaders and world elites, it's like they've been bred with a certain, they consider themselves to be the benign Nephilim. This is going Nephilim, sons of the fall, Lucifer prodigy. How do we know that you're not running into one of these nutbags that's had their empathy and sympathy bred out of them, and they're able to do things to people and not even think about it? Sociopaths, psychopaths. I mean, there's a certain limit, you know, when I say something bad, when I get mad about something, there's a certain limit as far as I go. You know, you get like, you know, you get somebody calls you up at 6 o'clock at night and you're trying to have dinner. There's only a certain amount of energy I want to put into that. Usually I just hang up or whatever. But every once in a while you get somebody who gets really obnoxious with you on a telephone call, and you don't want to go too far with them, but you got to get their attention. See, it's the psychopaths who don't do that. They just go as far as they want. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to stalk you. I'm going to find you. See, these are the people you don't want to hang out with. And these are the people that you don't. I'm telling you. I've gone out with a few of them. You don't want to date them. These people are nuts. Okay? You can't shake them loose if they start stalking you. They get weird. And I'm talking about males, boys, and girls, men and women. Some of them are just nuts. So, guys, think clearly before you start dating people or who you hang out with. And remember, guys, it's a lot easier to climb up the ladder, you know, without people hanging on you. I talked to a friend of mine the other day, having some serious issues with the police and everything else. He's got long hair. He's not really a friend. He's an acquaintance. I just know him. And I told him, I said, dude, I said, I don't care about your hair. You know, it's like shoulder. It's longer than shoulder. It's real long. And I said, I don't care how long your hair is. I don't care. If you're constantly having problems with the cops, they're profiling you, so what's going on? I said, they see you with the long hair. They think you're a hippie. They think you're a doper. They automatically think that when they see you. If they see a Baptist running around in a three-piece suit who's a pastor, they don't think that. You think, well, it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way, and that's wrong. They shouldn't profile. And my response is, amen to you, brother. Amen to you, sister. You're absolutely right. It shouldn't be that way. Here's the problem. That's the way it is. It's just that way. And so if your long hair is causing you issues, maybe you need to get it trimmed up some. If your tattoos are causing you an issue, maybe you just need to wear some long sleeve shirts. I mean, if your language is causing you issues, maybe you need to clean it up a little bit. I mean, if you being late all the time is causing problems with you at work, maybe you need to be on time. maybe, you know, all these things can be something that you can change. I mean, if you're using filthy language around a Baptist or a real religious person, they're going to decide they don't want to be around you because they don't want to hang out with people who use filthy language. Maybe you need to clean up the language. How about that? And it's not a question of morality here. None of this is saying you're not saved and you're not a good person. It's just saying there's certain types of behaviors that offend other people. Roan said something one time. It was so interesting. He asked a young man, he goes, have you ever thought about how you affect other people? And the young man says, well, I really haven't thought about that. And Roan answered him and said, that's obvious. Guys, think about how you affect other people. Think about it. Now, I'm not saying you got to be politically correct all the time, because you guys know that I'm about as far from politically correct as I get. But guys, my dad taught me this, and if I can teach you this today, this is so important. Everybody needs to feel important. They do. Everybody needs to be feel important. That's why I tell you guys, I'd say, because I want you to feel important. I want you to know that I love you guys. I appreciate you. I prayed for you guys again this morning. And I mean, I want you to know that you mean the world to me. And everybody needs to feel that way. Everybody needs to feel like they're part of a family. I've got people who email me and say, you saved my life. You got saved because of you. You know, we listen to your show every day. We binge listen to the Austin and Ted Brower show. Why is that? Because I think you're important. I know you're important. I know you're created in God's image. And I know you're a child of the King. And I want to have that kind of relationship with you and everybody who listens to this show. I want to thank you for supporting Health Masters, because I want everybody to feel important. Now you say, well, why are you doing that? Because it's the right thing to do. We don't need reasons sometimes that why we do things, except it's just the right thing to do. If we're willing and obedient, the word tells us we shall eat the fruit of the land. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. You guys are all winners. You guys are all just champions in my eyes. Austin, I'll do the write-up. God bless you guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, guys. And we got a little special promo we're probably going to be doing for everybody, a couple free gifts for a lot of our listeners and stuff that we're going to be doing on Friday. We're getting some stuff together from a couple of our suppliers that we've been co-opting with, and some pretty cool stuff's coming together. So be sure to listen to the show this week, and Friday we're going to make some announcements on what we can do, and it's definitely going to be a really little fun little thing for Christmas and for all of our listeners and all of our customers. And again, if you guys need anything, be sure to give us a call at healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834, and be sure to vote on the product of the week. Let us know which product you want to win, and whichever one wins, it goes on sale. The probiotic 350 billion is the current one on sale right now, which is pretty much the strongest probiotic you will find on the market. Incredibly amazing product. So be sure to check that out on the website, and we thank you for your support. Thank you for your time, and I hope everybody had a blessed weekend, and we're going to be getting some more cold weather down here in Florida, looks like, this week, so hopefully this rain will be done by today, and we can actually have some winter weather, which would be nice. Generally, when it's, you know, 89 degrees and rainy with 95% humidity, I don't feel very wintry down here. So we're doing good, though. We always push through. But we love you guys. Thank you for everything. Let us know if you need anything. You guys have an awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.